Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. Hey, health junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I'm interviewing health coach Tara Lori, and we are talking all about health, how she helped her husband and her kids to eat natural whole foods, how she's working on breath work with all of her coaching clients, and how it really helps to get deeper and think with your heart, not your mind so much. And her new adventure, which I'm also on board with, is working on some of these cold plunges. So this is a fun podcast. We're talking all about how moms can definitely keep their kiddos and family healthy and still put themselves first. So let's introduce you to Tara. Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and I have the pleasure of having Tara Lori on with me today. And we're going to be talking all things simplifying the process of getting healthy. So Tara, welcome to The Health Fix Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Janine. It's good to be here.
So as I was mentioning when we first started talking, I fell into her PDF on like the most glorious smoothies. I'm going to call it the most glorious smoothies I've ever seen in the whole world. pictures. I was just like, I want all of these. And right now today it is snowing where I'm at, but boy, these smoothies look good. And I know that, you know, we'll dive into talking about these smoothies, but I want to give you guys a little teaser that not only does she have skills with helping you simplify your nutrition, she also has some skills in the kitchen with that Vitamix of hers. So Tara, what brought you to wanting to help women simplify their health and their fitness and their nutrition and all the things in this department?
So to make a long story a little bit shorter, I've got three boys, and in my 20s, I was sort of getting into fitness very slowly. I was curious about how to sort of, I had acne as a teenager and growing up. And I correlated in my 20s that my acne would flare up if I had sugar and dairy in my diet. So I naturally, you know, started to minimize those things, and that got me more interested in what else I could do for my body and how I could sort of optimize it better. Mm-hmm. Then I had my three boys in my late 20s, early 30s, and that's where the gut issues sort of started to come into play. And the hormones are all sort of all over the shop. And just to throw another thing in there, between my second and third boy, my mum then got pancreatic cancer and she passed away. And sort of that was a very hard period. But then after I had my third son, my gut issues were even worse. So I decided to, enough was enough. And I've been on a quest ever since then to sort of heal my body. And at the same time, I had a real curiosity and grew a real passion to help other women as well, because I didn't want anyone else to go through the pain that I sort of went through watching mum suffer like that. So that's sort of what lit a fire under me to really get curious about health and wellness, and here I am today.
That's awesome. You know, I find that it is that thing that happens. It's like so many changes that happen with pregnancy. And yes, we'll have those imbalances, like you mentioned, in the teens and the 20s, and we kind of just blow them off a little bit. But then like we have a kid and it's, oh, this is serious now. This isn't going away. You know, I need to do something about this. And so I know that, you know, your situation isn't, you know, uncommon. There's a lot of women that will go through this, and then, you know, second baby, third baby, and it's like, okay, I really need to do something, just like you said. But I think for a lot of moms, the thought of like, okay, I have three kids, let alone boys at that, where do I even start? Can you shed some light on like where you started, where you, you know, kind of dove into first with the gut or even just food or where?
It would have been food, definitely, because that was the easiest go-to. So I researched the heck out of a healthy and a clean diet. That was sort of back in my late 20s. And I learned how to use food to get rid of some excess weight after all of my children as well, after my pregnancies. And now I've managed to keep it off too. So food is definitely the number one. And I guess it was trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
What works with my body, I sort of found a more paleo way of eating, and minimal dairy, sugar and wheat works very well for me. And it's all about finding what works for you. Of course, everyone's going to be different. That's basically what I've been on ever since. So food would be my number one go-to, because anyone can do it. You've got multiple choices per day. So that's what I would suggest.
And how did you work with your family? Because obviously what I sometimes will hear is that there's a mom who's trying to make change, and now we have her food, kids' food, husband's food. Did you end up just bringing everybody into it and going like, you guys are all doing this with me? Or what did you do?
I pretty much did. Hey,
nice.
My husband is good like that. He'll eat what he wants, you know, when he's out of the house. But when he's in the house, obviously I wasn't being super strict. I was being reasonable. So he's come along for the ride the entire time. And my kids were quite young when I was making changes too. They don't know any different. So they're sort of on minimal dairy. They still have a little bit. They still have sort of sourdough, but minimal wheat, and they have minimal sugar. And they're three very healthy boys that are growing. So I think I've done something right.
Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of parents would look at, you know, this change and go, oh, you know, are my kids going to go along with it? They're going to see all the kid food out there. And I can't compare what's happening in Australia compared to the US, but it's a nightmare in our grocery stores in terms of, quotes, kid food, which I would call Franken food, which isn't food for that matter. What's it like in the grocery stores in Australia? Do you guys have a lot of the processed stuff kind of like we have?
We do, yeah. I always say make your way around the outside, because the middle is pretty much all just packaged rubbish. You can find some good things, that they are starting to bring a lot more healthier foods into the supermarkets, which is a good step in the right direction. But I think it is sort of similar to the US in that regard. Yeah.
It's definitely hard, I think, for parents once the kiddos have been kind of indoctrinated into this style of eating. But yet, in your case, I mean, it sounds like your kiddos were quite young, so it was easier when they're younger, perhaps, to do this, which I'm hoping moms right now that are listening, maybe, you know, a couple months out of having their maybe third kiddo, maybe second, and they're going, okay, my kids are young, I can do this. What kind of advice would you have for them in terms of starting with new foods, things of that nature, to introduce to the kiddos? How do you do it? What's your style?
Well, sort of going back, my oldest is 9 now. They're 9, 7 and 4. But if I can remember correctly, obviously fresh and real food is number one. Even back then, I don't think I gave them much from a packet, to be honest. If you can just get yourself a good blender, and for babies especially, if you're going to be pureeing up food, make sure it's, if you can, organic. Obviously not everyone can, but yes, try and start with as real and as clean food as possible, and minimize anything from a packet. That would be my number one step.
Do you have a garden? Do you grow your own food?
We have a garden. We're not that great at growing food, but we have managed to grow potatoes, corn. We've got a range of herbs. We've got chilies, sort of all the easier stuff. So yes, we do now, but it's taken us a while to get here.
It's trial and error. And I think, you know, when I think about gardens, I've been gardening for a long time with my family, but when I actually did a little bit on my own, I found more of the trial and error, whereas before I was kind of following what my dad was doing. And so I find it incredibly interesting that it's much like testing food. It's much like trying new projects out. You don't know what your body's going to respond to unless you just try it. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
That's life.
Yes. Now, in terms of kind of going down the lines of mindset and really helping to simplify health, because I know me throwing out the idea of, do you have a garden? A lot of people are like, okay, you just talked to me about trying to reduce the amount of packets of food I use and processed food. And now you want me to grow a garden? No, folks, let's back up. I just asked because I was curious. Now, in the realm of working on simplifying health, what do you think, you know, what was kind of the next thing for you after food? What did you kind of dive into after that?
Movement was my next thing. Exercise. They sort of go hand in hand, don't they?
Sure.
I guess starting small is the best thing, because a lot of mums, especially with young children, say, when the heck am I going to find the time to move my body? Mm. You know, it's hard enough to look after my kids. So I think with technology these days, we're very fortunate because I started out just going on YouTube and just looking at free workouts, mm-hmm. anything from 5 to 15 minutes. I'd do it either when my kids were asleep or when they're at kindy, just throw something in there, just start small and you can, you know, gradually work your way up. But even if you can get 10 minutes a day to yourself, it's not only going to help your physical body, but it's going to help your mind enormously. And then that sort of was a flow and effect too, from the diet, the exercise, and then the mindset. And it sort of all just flows into one another. And you'll find that, yeah, mums out there who are listening, you'll find that as well. If you can just start with, you know, baby steps each day, you can definitely achieve big things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny how I have this rule, and it's not anything that I created. I've heard it before a million times. It's the 5 minute rule. And it's like, if I don't feel like moving, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna give myself 5 minutes. Next thing you know, 20, 30 has gone by. Did you use a little kind of mindset trick to keep you going on those days that you were like, I really don't feel like doing this?
Let's be honest, some days, you know, I wouldn't do much because you're sleep deprived when you got young kids. Even now, sometimes I try and move six to seven days a week. But if one day or a couple of days each week that you're not feeling great, you've had a bad sleep, you just cannot be bothered, then that's fine. But as you say, if you can just start with 5 or 10 minutes, you'll find that the feeling that you get after that carries you through the day is what keeps you coming back the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. It is that like energized little, just something about taking care of yourself. And we were talking a little bit about this, you know, and how important it is being the mom of three kiddos, but also taking care of yourself with some serious grief on board. I've also lost my mom, and that is no joke. And I know that a lot of ladies at this age range, we're starting to get into that range where our parents are older and things can sometimes happen. What would you say to someone who is, you know, might be in the battle of maybe a parent is really sick right now or parent has just passed? What's one of the things that you did to kind of keep you going and keep your mind in a good place and not giving up?
Yeah, it is. It's tough. Sorry to hear that too, by the way. I suppose meditation is a huge one. Just really, rather than ignoring it, which I can look back now and I think because I had younger kids, it was easy to sort of ignore what was going on and just sort of push the feelings aside and sort of get on with it. But if I could tell myself again, or anyone out there that's going through it now, I think if you can really lean into meditation, that allows you to sort of go through the feelings as they're coming to you, as they're arriving, rather than just shoving them aside and dealing with them later, which is going to be much harder, I believe. So even if you can just turn on an app for 5 or so minutes in the morning or the evening before you go to sleep, and if you have to cry, cry. If not, that's okay as well. Just sort of really sit there and try and have no distractions and just listen to your feelings. And you'll find that that's even more healing than sort of what I did, where I just sort of charged on and thought, you know, I just have to look after my kids and I'm not going to worry about this. I would definitely suggest to meditate.
I like that. Yeah, I did one of the I'm not going to pay attention to what just happened kind of scenarios. And it didn't end well when I was living away from my parents for many years. And then I moved home briefly after about 3 years after my mom died. And then it hit me. It doesn't end well when you don't process it right away. And so I like that you're suggesting being in the meditation space, mindfulness, things of that nature. What do you typically do for meditation? What's your style? What do you mean?
It's always evolving. I guess I just started off with guided meditations, mm-hmm. Which was a lot easier when you're getting into the groove. Currently, I just sit there and I play some sort of instrumental Buddha type music in the background. And that I find if I have a guided meditation, I can't actually really feel into what I'm feeling. Whereas if it's just an instrumental music playing in the background, obviously I always go in the same space and that trains my body to drop into that meditative state. And I usually do that for 10 or 15 minutes in the morning before my kids get up. And I just let flow whatever's coming into my mind. Sometimes I'll have a couple of tears, or I'll just sit there and I'll be grateful for certain things. I guess it just changes depending on what I'm going through in my life. But yeah, that's currently where I'm at.
I like that you mentioned that it changes based on what you're going through in your life, because I think a lot of people feel that they have to force a certain thing. Because we've all been told, great, you got to have your grateful, you got to say all those things, and then you got to do this, and then you got to have that. And I think it ends up, and I personally have found this with myself. I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with this meditation thing, because I there's the gratefulness, there's the, there's eight things I'm supposed to be doing right now, and I don't really feel like doing anything. And so I like that you just like, I'm just gonna lay there and see what comes to me. And I think for a lot of people, it's a great highlight for them to really think about the fact that you don't have to have a plan. Just let it flow. I like
Yeah,
it.
and that way you're going to put less pressure on yourself, and probably get a better result as well.
I think so. I mean, for some people, it's really hard. You're laying there, and back to that 5 minute rule that I also apply to meditation. If I can do it for 5 minutes, I can do it for longer. I feel like a lot of people will be like, 2 minutes in, this isn't working. I haven't like had this great epiphany. How long had it taken you, like as you got started with meditation, how long do you feel like it took you before you felt like you could get in a flow, you could let the things come to your mind and not feel like you had to force anything?
I guess the difference is between if you're going to listen to a guided meditation, I think you're going to get a different result to when you're sort of doing it on your own and just letting it happen organically. So, like I say, it does change for me, but just probably in the last 12 months, to be honest, I've found a deeper state that I can drop into where I'm feeling incredible for the rest of the day. And I have been doing, I should have mentioned, some breath work as well with that. And I think that's definitely helped because obviously, if you change your physiology, you can change your mental state. So, yeah, in the last 12 months, I'd say, to be honest.
Hey, it for me, it's been a progress of probably the last decade of getting into things and starting and stopping. But yes, the guided meditations, I like that you mentioned that too, is because it's a great place to start where it's autopilot. You just go in and listen to the person talk. And then when you're ready, you can transfer from there. Now what? So there's so many different styles of breathing. And I'm always going to ask people because I'm super into, certain types of breathing. And then I like to know what other folks are up to. So what's your breathing techniques? Who are you following? What are you up to? Did you create your own? Give us a scoop.
Not yet. I actually was recommended Soma breath work, which I've saved quite a few of theirs. They're just on YouTube, just some free ones. I started out with Wim Hof breathing technique, and sort of some other ones that I've just found on YouTube in the last couple of years, sort of like the breath of fire. And I've sort of gone on a bit of a journey using all different breathing techniques, even just something simple as the box breathing technique to help when I've been stressed out. It works a charm. So that's just breathing in for four, holding for four, and out for four. Even if you can do that for a couple of minutes, even when you're driving, if you're feeling stressed out, I found that works really well. But yeah, the Soma breath work has been working quite well for me. And I've also been going down to a one down at the beach that they've recently started up in our community down here, full of young people, which is amazing. And they do a 10-minute guided breath work where you're doing it completely through your mouth for 10 minutes. And I hadn't done that before. That started a couple of months ago when I went down there the first time and I had the tingling in my fingers. And they said that was all normal to start with. But when you actually go through it, you're like, wow, this is crazy. So yeah, that I've found pretty powerful as well. And after doing that the first time, I found a huge emotional release that just came out. I was, you know, in tears. And then you just sort of, after that, they do the guided meditation, and you're laying there in the sunshine. And it's the best feeling in the world. I would highly, highly recommend it to anyone.
Tell us where's that at? Because I know that I have listeners all over the world. So if some folks are invited to come down to your neck of the woods, where is it that they could do this?
Yeah. So it's on the Gold Coast. It's called Burley Beach. It's pretty much the main beach down there. And the group that organizes it are called Cool to Be Conscious. So cool with a two, to Cool to Be Conscious. And they're just a group of young people who found how powerful breath work can be. And they've then rolled, you know, that sort of thing into every aspect of their life. And they thought, we need to tell people more about how powerful this can be and how life-changing it is. And yeah, that's why I went down there, and now I'm spreading the word too. It's crazy. It's so good.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, breathing, never thought as a doc, I didn't, you know, I got caught up in the, like, let's get your herbs, let's get your diet, your nutrition. And I never thought about the breathing aspect of things till a friend of mine called me out on, like, she's like, you do not breathe at all. And I'm like, oh. And so of course, tried it out, tried some techniques out, and was like, blown away. And then a couple other people introduced me to different folks like Patrick McEwen and James Nestor's book Breathe. And I went, oh, breathing has a lot to do with health and could probably be one of the sources of a lot of mental anguish for folks if they're not breathing correctly.
Mm-hmm.
it's impressive. It's impressive what breathing can do for us. Now, I'm guessing that when you're working with folks and you're coaching folks, you're also working on breath work with them and recommending doing some breathing, doing some techniques in that department as well.
Nice. Yeah. So I guess along with starting with a clean diet and getting rid of the rubbish and doing some gentle movement, I also recommend doing just a small amount of breath work in the lead up to doing their meditation, either in the morning or the evening. And I tell them that if they're going to do that, it's going to be 10 times more effective than just doing meditation on its own. Mm-hmm. So I just basically say, even if you can do 2 minutes of deep breathing in the lead up to your meditation, it's also something that I do at the beginning of my coaching sessions. We just sit there and we do a little bit of deep breathing. And then sometimes we do a gratitude practice, and then we go into the coaching session. So we both feel grounded and ready to really talk from here rather than up here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I got to ask, with the Wim Hof breathing, did you do any cold plunges with it? Did you try
some? That's the one thing I haven't done. it's been a fear of mine. It's a phobia because I've always been one to get cold easy. So I was going to do it down at the beach meditation and breath work, but I ran out of time. I had to be somewhere else. I was standing there in my swimmers getting ready to get in the ice bath, but it didn't happen. So I'm going to promise you right now, the next time I'm down there, I'm going to do it and I'll send you proof.
Nice.
But I've heard so many amazing benefits, and I know I can do it. I just need to sort of get my foot in there and experience it.
Yeah. Yeah. I only ask because I have not experienced it either. I've tried with breathing in my house and doing some sauna and back out into the snow kind of things, but I haven't actually had an ice bath myself. So I am looking forward to trying this at some point here. Hopefully we're into winter here, so I'm hoping to try it this winter and see how it goes. So we can hold each other accountable for trying the Wim Hof process and jumping into some cold there as well. Now, obviously folks are probably listening going like, I'm not doing that. That's okay, guys. It's just, you know, that's like level 80 billion. When you get through it, you'll get there at some point where you decide you want to try this stuff out, which of course, Tara talks a lot about taking the simple steps to making change. And obviously this is a higher intervention from there. Now, one of the things I'd mentioned when I first started the podcast was the smoothies. Let's talk about smoothies. How did you come to love smoothies and create some really creative, colorful smoothies? How did this happen?
It started when my kids were young, and because we get long hot summers here in Australia, We always have an abundance of fruit around, and I've always been a sort of fruit dessert type person. And when my boy, when my oldest Eli was, you know, two or three, I decided to start making him some, when I was shifting with our diet, having healthier foods in the house, I thought, why don't I just make, I like smoothies, why don't I just make him smoothies too? And he loved them. He was my chubbiest baby for sure. And so then that sort of got me exploring more flavors, and I pretty much have had a smoothie for breakfast for the last 12 years in summer. It's just my summer thing. I absolutely love them, and it's just created a real passion for creating new things that are not only you know, delicious, but really, really good for you. You can throw in ginger, turmeric, you can throw in whatever you want, still have the amazing flavor, but have something that's also extremely good for you.
I like that. What I'm not seeing with all yours is like protein powder shake, you know, the protein powder stuff in there. And that's where I fundamentally, yes, I use some here and there, but it gets gross after a while. And I like that yours are all like naturally whole foods. And there was one that I saw, I believe it was mango and dragon fruit, maybe it was like pink and yellow of the mango, orangish yellow of the mango. It was like this layered, it looked like a parfait. I was like, yeah. Oh yeah. That's me right there. And you're using honey to sweeten. I mean, it's nothing crazy. It's not like, you know, a lot of people are using the stevias, the erythritols, the monk fruits and all that. And then I found that that just doesn't bode well for the gut. Did you find that for your gut too?
Yes, I've tried all of the sweeteners. But like you say, going back to whole foods is always going to trump everything else. It's going to taste more natural and better. We also know exactly where it's been and what's in it and the process of how it's been grown or made. I think if you're going to be having that sort of stuff, like I said, I have them every day in summer. I give them to my kids. I'm not going to be risking something in a packet that is marketed as healthy just because it's there. So yeah, go back to just sweetening with honey. Nature's given us honey for a reason, or dates even. Mm-hmm. And you can't go wrong.
Yeah. I love that. I love that those are in there, because so many smoothie recipes I'll see have all of the like stevia based protein powders and things of that nature. And I'm like, what happened to just eating real food?
We've forgotten. Many of us have forgotten how to eat real food. And I did, I'll be honest, I went through a protein powder stage. I think many of us have who have gone down the health and fitness path. It's marketed extremely well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, something my husband always says, how can something that's been extracted, heavily processed, ground up, and then you drink it, how can that be good for your kidneys or your liver in comparison to something like banana, a raw egg, and some, you know, some milk of your choice? How can that be better?
Yeah. There's no argument. I mean, really, there isn't. But yes, like you said, the marketing, I mean, that's where we fall into these things. And I think that's where we fall into the concept of kid food for, you know, folks who are out there, and convenience food in particular. So I wanted to ask, you know, smoothies are amazing. They're pretty, they're easy, pretty easy to get kiddos to take down, unless, you know, there's even the green ones I find that kids are cool with, because they think it's like, I mean, So I've marketed it to children. I do not have children myself, but I have plenty of nieces and nephews, and I've marketed it to them as Popeye super juice, and then you're good to go, you know. on that, but how do you go about meal prep beyond the smoothies? What are you doing for lunches? What are you doing for dinners? I saw something about taking snacks to kindy for the kiddos. And so I'd love to hear you kind of talk a little bit about where you're making little changes there and helping others to meal prep better.
Yeah. So if you can spare an hour or two on a Sunday, that is probably going to be the easiest thing for most people. Whereas I guess you can always prep school lunches and kindy lunches the night before. But personally, I like to do it fresh first thing in the morning. I just get up a little bit earlier. And things that I've changed in the boys' lunchboxes over time, I definitely don't have anything from a packet in their lunches. A typical lunch would be some coconut yogurt with various fruits, so some mango at the moment, or some blueberries, or pawpaw. Mm-hmm. Also a sandwich, whether that be I don't eat wheat myself, and my son is sort of similar. One of my middle boy, he has like an almond based bread, so he might have a sandwich with pesto. I make pesto, maybe some chicken, or whatever I've got on hand, basically. So a sandwich, yogurt and fruit. Then we have these little containers that I put various things into, whether that be nuts or a homemade hummus. I just try and keep it as real as possible and as interesting as possible. And I try and change it up, one or two things, from week to week, so they don't get sick of it. But yeah, if you can just not put anything from a packet in there, you're already winning. Just piece of fruit, a sandwich, a wrap. It's pretty easy stuff.
And do the kids ever help you with the meal prep?
They do sometimes. I'm a little bit of a control freak. So sometimes I'll let them choose, can I have this fruit, mum, or can I have that on my sandwich? So, they're mentally helping me. But I do like to, because there's three of them, I like to line everything up, line up the lunch boxes, just get it all in there. They're good to go.
I can imagine it would be chaos. I mean, three boys, it's probably wild at any given times. I mean, with nine being the oldest, I mean, I'm going, okay, you still have lots of crazy chaos energy in there. So in a good way though,
In a good way. Yeah.
All right. Wow. We've gone through a lot of lifestyle stuff. I think for my audience, since we've got folks kind of from perimenopause, also beyond, beyond, and grandkids, dealing with grandkids, but also folks who are new moms just trying to figure out, like, man, how do I juggle all of this? It sounds like step one, just start working on the food. So I want to hear from you in terms of where can folks find you. I will definitely put the freebie of the smoothie PDF, guys. You need to get that. Just that's hands down. That's required. Can't listen to my podcast anymore if you don't get that smoothie download.
Do it.
You have to. But for folks who are just getting started and they're listening to this and they're like, oh man, Tara really has some really great ideas. I think that she would be a great resource for me. Where can they find you online? Where can they work with you? Things of that nature. Give us the details.
Yeah, so number one, my Instagram page, which is _TaraLaurie_. I'm sure you'll put in the show notes. So, and also my website, which is taralaurie.com.au. So that's taralori.com.au. You can find me there. I'd love to connect with you.
You know, gosh, just from like, you guys have to see this movie. I know I keep saying smoothies. I'm trying to get my point across. Clearly, I hope I've made it by now. Just from that, she's magical in the kitchen. I can tell. And super, I mean, just from your Instagram, all of the different mindset things on there, all of the different things that you've got. It's a great place for a resource for anyone who's wanting to get started on making those changes to turn around their life. So Tara, thank you so much for coming on the Health Fix podcast. I sincerely appreciate it. And we look forward to talking to you here in the future, because I want to hear as we try the Wim Hof stuff, how that goes and how we can help keep promoting the breathing stuff to folks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been my absolute pleasure, and I look forward to our next chat.
Yeah. Coming soon, folks. Stay tuned.
Hey, fellow health junkie. Thanks for listening to the Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.